the elders and I would like to take this day to remember the Lord's Supper, or what is often called communion, in its original context as a part of the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples in the upper room. As we consider this, we will not focus on the symbol of and significance of all the different elements of the Passover meal. We have done that previously as in a meal called a Seder. We will do that again another time. This year is not a good year for that. But at the same time, we will be focusing on those elements that played significant roles in the establishment of the ordinance that we know as communion today. What did Jesus do? I think it's incredibly important for us to understand that there was a trend. Jesus didn't make this up out of nothing, but rather he took the old covenant that God had with the Jews and he transformed it and made a new covenant that we celebrate in our communion service. It was performed in his sacrificing himself on the cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But what we celebrate is actually something that is a continuation of that which the Jews had been celebrating in the Passover meal since the days of Egypt and the Passover and Moses leading them out of their slavery. So today, as we go through these things, and the elders are going to be helping me with this, we are going to together be looking to see what is it that Jesus changed and how does that change us. The first thing that would happen at a Passover meal would be for the matriarch of the home. Because remember that Passover was celebrated in homes. They did not gather in the temple for Passover. They gathered in their homes. And the matriarch of the home would come and light the Passover candles. And so we're going to start with that now. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds for our communion time today with the Lord. First by praying, and then we will enter into a time of singing together. Father, we are so grateful. So grateful for this day when we set aside our entire service just to commune with you. Lord, that there will be no intentional teaching, but only that which your Spirit wishes to instruct us in as we draw near to you. Lord, we may find this interesting, discovering some of the things that maybe we didn't know about the Passover meal and so. But Father, we pray that it would go deeper than that. We pray, Father, that today you would draw us near yourself as we consider the body and the blood of Christ, the gift of our salvation. May your Holy Spirit enter into us fresh and new. And may we know your presence, O God, and find comfort and peace there, hope and life. For this is a part of what it means to be the body of Christ as well. Not just learning about you, but celebrating being with you. And we pray that today we would do that at your table. In Jesus' name, amen.
The evening of the Passover began with the 12 disciples all gathering together in an upper room of a house owned by someone who apparently knew Jesus. Luke tells us in chapter 22 that Jesus had sent Peter and John there to make preparations earlier in the day. But John tells us, as everyone began to arrive, it became clear that neither Peter nor John had made provision for a household servant to wash the guests' feet, something that was both tradition and necessary. But since it was a task that only servants and women could be compelled to do, and there were none present, none of the disciples volunteered to wash feet in their place. But John 13 tells us that Jesus, seeing the need and the pride of his disciples, removed his outer garments, put a towel around his waist, and began to wash the disciples' filthy feet, much to the dismay of the disciples. But Jesus had a way of dismaying his disciples. They were looking for a proud, strong lion of a man, the kind who could take on their enemies and strike fear in the heart of the Romans. But so often he had disappointed them. He cared for children like a woman. He touched lepers like a leper himself. He spoke with Samaritans and defended prostitutes and adulteresses. He even ate with tax collectors, even inviting one to be a disciple. But this was too much. Here was their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord and Messiah, kneeling at their feet, taking them in his hands like a common housemaid and washing away the dirt. As he dried the last of their feet with a towel around his waist, he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him."
The Passover celebration is more than just a meal, like a Thanksgiving dinner. The meal is only one component of a larger family ceremony in which the history of God's redemption of Israel is recounted. It is full of symbol and analogy, all tied to the events of the first Passover, when God delivered his people from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. Even the elements of the meal itself have symbolic significance, something that is carried over into our celebration of communion. The bread, for example, appears early in the Passover celebration, when everyone is at the table, but before the meal is served. It first shows up in the Ichad, which means unity or compound unity, a whole consisting of many parts. And this is where we will begin. The Ichad is made up of three pieces of matzah bread, wrapped in a folded linen, with each part separate from the others, but making up the unity of the Ichad. Sound familiar? Three in one? Just wait. At this point in the ceremony, the second piece of matzah, or bread, is pulled out from the middle of the Ichad and is broken into two. The smaller part is put back in its place in the Ichad, but the larger piece is wrapped in a napkin and becomes known as the afikoman, which means dessert. With the children's eyes all closed, the head of the house hides away the afikoman.
Children, close your eyes.
Oh, he's going to hide it. Close your eyes. After he returns, the children can open their eyes, and everyone eats dinner. After dinner, the children are sent off to find the afikoman, and once found, it is brought back to the head of the house, who must now pay a ransom to get it back. Once the ransom is paid, the host breaks off a piece of the afikoman for each person at the meal and gives it to them to eat as their dessert. It is this that we read about when, in the midst of what has been relatively normal Passover meal, Jesus gives new meaning to the afikoman.
And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hamotzatzi lachem min haretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
To us, the significance is clear. Jesus, the second person of the triunity of God, Ichad, was broken and hidden in the tomb for 3 days, only to be raised again by the Father, and brings life to all who will partake of him by giving their lives to him.
And now the cup. The cup was also a key part of the Passover ceremony and the meal. In fact, there were 4 cups of wine shared by everyone in the home during the evening. Each cup had its own significance based on the words of Exodus 6:6-7, which describes God's act of deliverance of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The first is the cup of sanctification, coming at the very beginning of Passover. The second cup is the cup of deliverance and is taken just before the actual meal is served with these words.
I will deliver you from slavery to them.
The third cup is passed after dinner is over. And just after the sharing of the Afikoman, it is the cup of the redemption.
I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment.
And the final cup comes at the end of Passover ceremony and is called the cup of praise.
I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God.
2 of these cups are specifically mentioned in the gospel accounts of the Lord's Last Supper. The first cup, the cup of sanctification, is mentioned in Luke 22:17.
And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who makes the fruit of the vine. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
This certainly would have raised the expectations of the disciples that night, since they celebrate a Passover every year. Could it be that next year, at this time, they would be celebrating the renewed kingdom without the Romans? But by the end of the meal, those hopes would be dashed as Jesus took the third cup, the cup of redemption, and repurposed it just as he had done with the Afikoman just a few moments earlier when he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now he uses the cup of redemption to describe a greater redemption than the one brought to Israel through Moses. In Luke 22:20, we read, and likewise he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus was using the ancient ceremony that commemorated God's great deliverance of his people to introduce a new covenant to a new people of God, one that would include men, women, and children from all over the world, be they Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, all would be the body and the blood of Jesus. He invited to become children of God and transformed together into his family. Matthew 26:39 tells us of one more cup. This cup had nothing to do with the Passover meal. Jesus spoke of it in the prayer to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the cup of the cross. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus drank this cup, all of it, so we might be saved.
Let's pray together. Precious Father, we come before you truly amazed. We are a part of a long lineage of life given to us through Christ. Each of us having to choose to submit ourselves to your grace, to acknowledge our sin and our brokenness, to accept the reality of our separation from you, from the purpose for which you created us. Each of us has to come to understand, at least to some small measure, how desperately we need a Savior. Someone who can take from us the guilt and the shame of our sin. Father, for some of us, that sin was big and it overtook our lives. We knew the fullness of our brokenness. We suffered under the hand of the enemy who held us in captivity. And so when Jesus offered his grace, when he poured out his love, when he shed his blood and broke his body, we came running, understanding that the very essence of our lives was dependent upon the salvation that you bring. And we gladly and gratefully received it. Father, others of us grew up with the blessing of a Christian home. Perhaps we never even knew life without your presence among us. For where two or three are gathered in your name, so you are there in the midst. And if our mothers and fathers together walked with you, then you were in the midst of our home from the very beginning. We grew up in Sunday school. We went to church. We participated in the youth group. We did all the good things that Christian kids did, and we gave our lives to Jesus, some of us as early as 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. We asked Jesus to come in and to forgive us and to cleanse us and to give us life. And then we walk down that road. And Father, to be honest, if we think about it, sometimes we feel as if we didn't have nearly as much to forgive as other people. The things that we did as children were quite minimal by comparison. We were careful and conscientious in the way that we lived our lives. Many of us didn't participate in a great deal of sinful activity. Oh, sure, we said a few things under our breath, or we rebelled in private and quiet ways. But Lord, it is easy for us to somehow think that we just needed a few drops of Jesus' blood. That really just a pinprick would have done. For we weren't really that bad. And yet, Lord, we stand before you in the same condition as our brothers and sisters who were fully aware of the depth of their brokenness. And we are just as dependent on Christ for our salvation, that his death was just as necessary for us For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Whether it's a lot or a little. Gross or quite acceptable. We all stand at the foot of the cross the same. And so we come to you this morning. Rejoicing in the forgiveness you give and asking for more. Cleanse us, we pray, of self-righteousness. Of the illusion of doing just fine. Break through the hard pack soil of our lives where we can keep everything on the surface and look good and feel good. But sin continues to rage in our soul, doing damage and breaking things. Grant us the grace, O God, of your Spirit to break through, to weed out, to remove and to heal in the deepest levels of our hearts and our minds. Renew us, we pray, O God. Bring life and joy from the deepest part of our soul, that nothing can take it away. For this sacrifice that you made that we commemorate today was not made just so that we might enjoy a surface level of peace, a modicum of joy. But rather you gave us Christ. He broke his body, he shed his blood that we might enter into your joy. Your peace. That we might be awash in the love of Christ and certain of our place with you. Not because of some theological concept, but because we know you, we sense your presence. You have never left us or abandoned us. And you're changing us. So now, we who have been redeemed as individuals come together as your family, your children, and what Paul calls the body of Christ on earth. Cleanse us when we have not lived up to that. Plant the seeds of your love, your peace, your joy, your hope, your faith deep in our souls that it might produce fruit, fruit that lasts. That this sacrifice would not have been made in vain or for just little things. But may the great things of God, the very coming of his kingdom to the face of the earth in the hearts of his people, may it transform all those around us. May they see your glory. May they desire your presence. And even though you make them uncomfortable and we might make them uncomfortable by the way in which we live and the things we do not choose to participate in, may they, Father, see the wonder and the glory of that which your truth brings. And that when we come together to this table, we would recognize that we are a part of what you have been doing from the very beginning. And that it was Jesus who made it possible for us to participate in that grand action of God, your plan, your purpose, your salvation. In us we pray, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. These were the events of which the Apostle Paul spoke when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'm going to invite you to take your communion cups. You can pull the wafer out of the top without opening the cup quite yet. That's fine. It's a little easier that way. And we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So first pull out that wafer. What I'm going to ask you to do is when I break the bread, the matzah bread here, break your wafer. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, the aphikomen. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of redemption. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant," as they celebrated the old covenant. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's drink together. And Paul said, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In other words, there won't be yet another new covenant. That when this covenant comes to a close and the Lord returns, all history will come to a close with it. And Jesus will return, and the kingdom, the presence of God, the city of God will descend upon the earth, and God will be with us. Not just in spirit, but in his eternal presence, and he will be our sun. And the sea, the tumult, the chaos of this world will be no more. That's what we proclaim as we take communion together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your glorious gift. Lord, I ask that you would now, that your spirit would rest within us, that we would rest in you, that we would receive the forgiveness that you give, and that we might forgive ourselves by your power and your strength. Grant us the grace to be able to forgive others in that same way as we wash each other's feet, walking together on the way. That in all things you might be glorified today and every day in your church. We We pray in Christ's holy name.